Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our Christ, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was engaged to be married, I was very happy because I had a live one on the hook. I was so thrilled to be getting married and to be planning a wedding, and I went to my dear bishop who had ordained me, who was a pastor of mine for a long time, and I told him I was getting married and I wanted him to perform the service. So, of course, we met, as most pastors and couples do, to talk about the marriage and to plan the ceremony and to talk about things in general. Well, things were going along swimmingly. We had planned out the service. And then at one point, as the bishop was talking to us about marriage, he looked me straight in the eye and said, Dawn, how are you going to handle the church and a husband? Now, I knew what he was getting at. But you see, I hadn't told Bob any of the fine print. I hadn't told him about life as a pastor. I told him about how wonderful church was, and we had an instant family, and it was all such sunshine and light. And so I tried to deflect the good bishop. So I said silly things like, well, you know, we'll work it out, and love will find a way, and all the silly things you say. And he was hearing none of it. So he asked the question again, but a different way, thinking that maybe I did not understand. I understood perfectly. After the third time asking and my deflecting, he looked at me. I shall never forget it. It was a look of absolute disgust. And he turned to my husband-to-be, and he said, let me tell you what it's like to live with a pastor. And he laid it out, all the things that, and he didn't talk about the positive things. He talked about all the negative things, and I wanted to kick him under the table because I was afraid that my husband-to-be would run screaming out of the door. Now, if that wasn't enough, my mother got a hold of my husband-to-be. And what the good bishop didn't say from a pastor's point of view, my mother said, do you know what it's like to live with Dawn? And at the wedding, the bishop got up and preached about the challenges of living with a pastor, just to put a fine point on it. Now, what they were getting at was not to scare him off, but they knew something that I wasn't quite sure about because I was young and in love. That marriage is more than romance, and it's more than a contractual obligation. I laugh when people talk about division of labor and the 50-50 and the give and take. You know, those of you who are married understand that sometimes you're giving 100%, the other person's giving minus 20. That it's just a reality. So it's not a contract. What they wanted to know was this man all in? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Was he all in? Well, fortunately, he was. At least for now. He's all in. And I understand this passage better, understanding that in our relationship with the Lord, it's not 50-50, and it's not contractual. Are we all in? When the young ruler went to Jesus and he knelt at his feet, he was a good guy. He was moral. He was ethical. He had done everything that the law required. And that's probably why he had excelled in business, because he did things the right way. He dotted every I and he crossed every T. And yet he still said, something's missing. So he runs to Jesus and he falls at his feet. And what does it say Jesus did first? It said when Jesus looked at him, he loved him. Jesus was all in with this man. He loved him. And because he loved him, he could see what was gripping this man and holding him back. And it was all his wealth. You know, those who don't have wealth look and say, you know, I could handle it. Because all we see are the perks. But Jesus saw the burdens that were on this man that were weighing him down. And he said, there's one thing I want you to do. Give it all up. Get rid of it. It's not doing you any good. Get rid of it. And he didn't say, like some spiritual hucksters, give it to me. You could have understood that. He said, give it away. Give it to people who need it. You'll be unburdened. And he didn't say, then go home and be poor. He said, follow me. He was offering him a life of adventure. And I understand, too, why Jesus said, divest yourself. Imagine if he said, you know, you seem like a good guy, just come follow me, we'll figure it out. Can you imagine then when they were in the desert and there were 5,000 people and Jesus had asked, how are we going to feed these people? The disciples would have said, Joe has the money, he can do it, you know, send him out and he'll buy the groceries for us. We would have never had that kind of miracle. Jesus said, get rid of it all. The disciples were astounded. And this man was not offended. He was shocked. And I think the minute he made his choice, he realized it was the wrong one. Because it says that he went away grieving. Not just sad, but grief-stricken over his choice. He knew he hadn't made the right choice. Jesus couldn't replace the wealth that he had, but he would have given him a life like none other. And 2,000 years later, we read in all these gospels about the rich guy that went to Jesus. We have no idea of his name, of his family, of anything else about him. But every one of those disciples, we know their names. And every one of them that were all in for Jesus, with the exception, of course, of Judas, had a wonderful life. Now, not in human terms, but none of them at the end of their lives said, I wish I had done things differently. There are obligations in the Christian life. One of my buddies phrased it this way. The Christian life is happy, it's heavenly, and it is hard. And the hard part is this, that the followers of Jesus, when someone is rotten to us, we are expected, we are commanded to forgive. When someone is hateful, we are told we have to turn around and respond in love. When someone is unethical, we have to respond with honesty. When the world says, climb and claw your way to the top, we have to respond and say that even if it hurts me financially, I have to do the right thing. When the world says it's okay to kick relationships to the curb, Jesus says that we have to love more purely and deeply. It's not an easy life, but it is a wonderful life. The Christian life is happy, it's heavenly, and it's hard. Jesus is all in with us. We can come to him anytime. Even when we have made a mess of things, are we all in with Jesus. Let us pray. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Lord, we thank you that everything we have is on loan to us. And we ask that all that you have given to us, we might freely give to you and your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.